bring you greetings in Jesus' name this evening. It's a privilege to be able to worship together tonight, a second time for today, and one more time on this side of eternity. We don't know how long, only God knows that, how long we will have to worship him in this life. Our brother already mentioned who I am. I'm sure that most of you already knew that, but yes, I have the privilege of calling Carl and Joyce my mom and dad, and they have been a tremendous blessing to us and to me and my family. Maybe just another little bit of information about us. We live in Burnville, and we go to Rairsburg Church, and as well as school. That's where our children go to school. We have five children, four boys and one girl, and we're enjoying life in Burnville and at Rairsburg Mennonite Church. So the topic that was assigned for me this evening is purpose-filled youth. And I'm glad to see all of you here this evening. I know it probably would have been easier for maybe just the young people to come tonight and hear what is shared in the message, but I'm glad to see parents and grandparents also here to hear what God has to say. And hopefully, throughout the message here tonight, we can all learn something, no matter what stage of life we're at. So as I thought of this title and started studying, my mind immediately went to two young men. The first young man that I thought of is in Proverbs chapter 7. I'm only going to read one verse. But it's a very familiar account of a young man who had no purpose. The verse reads like this, "And I beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding." The second young man I was thinking of came to my mind is a young man that I was working with several months ago. After meeting with him several times, I said to him, "Do you have any goals in life? Do you have any plans? What are your goals? What are you thinking? What does your life look like?" It didn't take him long to answer, and he said, "I don't have any. I don't have any. I don't know." It broke my heart to hear that coming from a young man. And as we read in this verse here, a young man void of understanding, a young person who has no purpose in life, without aim, without direction, an empty life, unstable, vulnerable to temptation. And I don't plan to go in that direction, because I want to talk about the purpose-filled youth. Youth can have a purpose. And young people tonight, I see a number of you here, you bless us with your vigor, your zeal, your energy for life. But quite likely, behind all that zeal, that vigor, that energy, is a person that's trying to figure out life. And that's normal. That is normal for a young person to try to figure out life and how it's all supposed to work. Another memory it brought back to me as I studied is with my own youth. And the things that I faced in my youthhood. And for many of us, I'm sure that we can think back to it being years of time, a time that discovering who we are. And that's the time of life. It's discovering who we are and what we're passionate about. In those years, we discover some of those things. The gifts, the abilities that God has given to us, we discover in those years. Youth is a time of a lot of questions. It's a time of a lot of questions. What is God's will for my life? What are the gifts, the abilities that God has given to me? Where do I fit into his plan? There's so many opportunities. Which one is best for me? Proverbs 16 and verse 9 tells us, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. How well that fits with a young person's life. No matter how concerned you are about trying to figure out life and what opportunities might someday be yours, or how much time, it doesn't matter how much time you spend in your youth trying to plan your life, if you are sincerely following God tonight, he will direct your path. And I could end the sermon right here with that, because a young person who is sincerely seeking God will know his will for their life. And yet, as I say that, that's probably one of the biggest hurdles for young people to try to figure out. How do I know God's will for my life? How well I remember that of my own life, trying to figure out what God's will is for my life. We often use that term, finding God's will for our life. And there's another term that we often use as well, and that's God's calling for me. We've heard that, God's call on our life. We hear of someone being called to the mission field. Or we hear that this person answered the call to teach school, or the call to do this or that. Or God felt them calling, God calling them to do this work or this mission or whatever it might be. And I wonder sometimes if we don't overuse that term of God's calling on our life. Because I'm going to tell you this evening that as young people, if you have answered the call to follow God, then you have already been called. You have already been called. If you are born again, a born again Christian, you have already been called. First Timothy 4 and verse 12 talks to young people. This verse tells us that youth are called to be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. It's a long list. An example to the believer right here, this group right here. Young people, we are looking to you. We are looking to you as an example. I'm going to read them again. In conduct, the way you act. In love. In spirit, in faith, and in purity. The church body looks to you for an example in all of these areas. Let no one despise you. Even though you're young, the rest of the verse goes on to say, let no one despise you in any of these areas, even in your young life. Here's another calling taken from 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I think the call is very clear. Called out of sin into the light of the knowledge of God. Now, the Bible does speak quite a bit about the will of God. It tells us plainly what the will of God is. But I don't believe anywhere in Scripture it tells us to seek. It doesn't use the language of seeking God's will, trying to figure it out. We're not told to wait until we know God's will to do anything about it. I'm going to read you some verses. I have most of the references in the verses just printed out here. I'm going to be reading most of them tonight. But I want to read a couple verses here, speaking directly about the will of God, speaking directly into our life, if we are a follower of God. Mark 3 and verse 35, "For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother." If you do the will of God, you are his sister or brother and mother. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Being thankful. Thankfulness. We live in a world that's unthankful. It's all around us. Being thankful in your daily life. Young people, being thankful, your daily life. It's easy in those years to be dissatisfied with life and be unsettled. Being thankful is the will of God for your life. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication." Purity is probably one of the main topics subjects of young people these days, because we know the temptations that are there. We live in such a wicked world. But the will of God for you is to live in purity. To live in purity. The will of God for your life. Let's turn to this one, 1 Peter 2. Verses 13 to 15. 1 Peter 2, verses 13 to 15. "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be the king, to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." You know, the day and age that we live in, the society that we live in, we expect young people, the world expects young people to live it up. They expect that if there's anyone going to be disrespectful to the laws of the land or to parents or to school or whatever it might be, it will be the young people. These verses are calling young people and all of us. "It is the will of God that we submit ourselves to every ordinance of man." Submission to God's authority. Micah 6 and verse 8, one of my favorite verses. It doesn't specifically mention the will of God, but listen anyway. "He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." Three requirements there that we know the will of God: to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with God. Three requirements. One more. Again, doesn't specifically mention the will of God, but John 14 and verse 15. "If you love me, keep my commandments." I'll say it again. If you have already given your heart to Jesus Christ and are a follower of his, you're called to do his commandments. So I encourage you, young people, tonight, instead of putting a lot of emphasis on trying to figure out God's will for your life, focus on instead on what he has put right in front of you. The commands that he has given to you, the commands of Christ. Focus on those. Focus on those. And you may not see the handwriting on the wall. You may not see that. Chances are you will not. You may not audibly hear a voice telling you that this is what I have called you to do. Chances are you will not. And that's okay. That is okay. But do what you have already been told to do from the Word of God. One trap that youth might sometimes fall into when they do not hear God's call, have not figured out his will for their life. They use that as an excuse to do nothing. I haven't heard the call. I haven't felt the call. I haven't heard his voice. So I'll do nothing. Nothing at all until I hear what that is, until I know. Another trap that catches young people sometimes is they first want to live their life. They want to live it up before they begin seeking God's will for their life. After all, it is the exciting time of life. I alluded to that already. It's a good time of life, the excitement, the energy. Live it up before seeking God's will. And so they wait till the next big event. They wait till they're 16 or 18 or 21 or whatever it is. They wait till they have their first job and making lots of money. I'm going to tell you this evening, don't wait until you're married. Don't wait till you're married. Use your unmarried years to serve God right now. Your commitment to him right now, whatever age you are, is what will bring you the deepest purpose to your life. There's a quote that I heard. The place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. And I think that's where it comes together as we think about God's calling for your life, God's will for your life. Your satisfaction in your walk with God and in meeting the needs of the world around you. Purpose-filled youth. While you seek God's will for your life and God's purpose for your life, I want to share three things with you. Hopefully, these will aid you in finding God's will by bringing purpose to your life while you wait. While you wait on God. Those three, the first one is learn. Learn. The second is serve. And the third is build. Learn, serve, build. And I venture to guess that it very likely will happen that if you involve yourselves in these three things for a time, you may not even be able to look back in your life and pin it to a time that this is when God's will was revealed to me, when he called me. I think if you involve yourselves in each one of these, it will happen without you even thinking about it. God's will become clear if you're active in his commands. Proverbs 3 and verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. It goes for young people as well as all of us. And the different paths that we find ourselves, if we acknowledge God first of all, he will direct our paths. Let's look at the first one. Consider the first one of learn. In Luke 2 and verse 52 is the verse of Jesus. In that portion of scripture there of Jesus when he was in the temple with the doctors and the teachers. He was 12 years old. But the verse tells us that he was in favor. He increased in stature and in favor with God and man at age 12. And then there was a spell of time when we heard nothing. We read nothing or nothing has given us details of Jesus' life for 18 years. Nothing is given about what happened during those years. But I'm guessing, and I'm certain that during those years, he was learning. He was learning, maturing, not only with the job that was there, the opportunity that was there in the carpenter shop with his earthly father, learning the trade, but also learning the culture, the ways of his people, the Judean people. I believe that he opened himself up. He was open. He learned. He took in all that was around him during those years. And then at age 30, he began his ministry. And I find it interesting to know, and I'm sure you probably heard this as well already, that your brain isn't fully developed until the age of 25. And Jesus, 5 years beyond that, began his earthly ministry. And I'm going to say, what a profitable time it can be for you as a youth to be able to learn what God has for you. During your learning years of youth, it's important, it's so important to have good teachers. If you think of learning, you have to have a good teacher. And to know God's purpose for your life, to find purpose in your life, your first teacher must be Jesus Christ. Choose Jesus Christ. He's our perfect teacher. Luke 6 and verse 40, it says, the disciple is not above his master. And as a disciple of Jesus Christ, we sit at his feet and we learn. We learn. He is the perfect teacher. Spend time with him. And we'll talk about that a bit later on. But in choosing your teachers, choose your parents. Choose your parents. And I know at your age, you probably feel much wiser than what they are. I understand that. But I want to tell you something you already know in relation to that, even though it's hard to realize in your shoes. But they have lived life much longer than you have. They have lived life much longer than you have. Choose your parents. Proverbs 4 and verse 20 says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Your parents will be wise teachers. And our brother mentioned in his devotional tonight about counselors. Choose wise counselors. Choose wise counselors. And sometimes there will be others besides your parents that will be able to give insight into your life, be able to give you guidance. And that is good. That is good. God wants to use other influential people, spiritual people in your life to give you guidance as well. And sometimes it takes other people to help you see a different perspective in life or in a circumstance. Choose wise counselors. Someone who has experienced life. Choose wise counselors. Proverbs 11 and verse 14, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And that verse was already read, but it bears reading again. The multitude of counselors, there is safety. Choose good teachers. And as you learn to be open with your life. And that can be, again, that can be a tough one for youth. We think we have it all together, and it's hard to admit that we need help. It's hard to realize that we don't know everything. But I said in the beginning that youth have lots of questions, and that is normal. Learn to discuss those questions. Learn to be open. Learn to discuss them with your teachers, with your parents, another spiritual person. And I'll add this too quickly because, again, I alluded to this, but be willing to accept the advice they offer. Be willing to accept the advice. When you seek, when you're open, when you're learning, be willing to accept the advice that is given. Another area to learn is learn to be truthful. I'm not sure what you think of what comes to your mind when I say that phrase, because we've all been taught from little on up to be truthful. But you know, as young people, as you go into the workforce and work for someone, you'll have the temptation, it will come up to be a little shady, to hide the truth here or there. Be truthful in your home life, your daily life, your work life, your social life. Most of all, be truthful with God. Be truthful with God. Tell him exactly how you feel. He knows anyway. He knows anyway. So tell him. Tell him exactly how you feel about this situation, the decision that's in front of you. Tell God about it. He knows your heart's desire. He also knows your willingness or your unwillingness to submit to him. But tell him everything anyway. Tell him anyway. One of the things that I've thought about lately is telling God, talking with God out loud. And I don't have very far to work, but I found myself doing that some mornings, that, you know, just talking to God out loud. Admit your feelings to him. He's a good listener. He's a good listener. Just put into words the things that are on your heart, and hearing them said out loud helps you to sort it out. And then after you talk, just listen. Listen for his response and his speaking to your heart. Learn to be truthful. Also, I want to say this evening, learn to be watchful and wait. Another thing that's maybe sometimes difficult for young people, but God opens doors, God closes doors in marvelous ways. Don't hammer down a door that God closed. God is shut. But don't just stand there and stare at a door that is open, that God has opened. Watch for the opportunities that God sends your way. But if you have determined how God is going to guide you, if you have that predetermined mindset of how God is going to guide you, you likely will not see the green lights and the open doors when he leads differently from what you were expecting or what you hoped. Learn to wait. Very closely tied with that is learn to be cautious. Learn to be cautious and patient. Don't make big decisions quickly. You know, there's a lot of things that big decisions in life as you go on. And sometimes it would be easy to just pick the easiest one, or the one that came first, or whatever it might be. But don't make big decisions quickly. When you're confused and you're unsure of what God is wanting you to do, don't move ahead with it. Wait for an assurance, the inner assurance that you're understanding what God is asking you to do. God's timing is often slower than man's, or so it seems. But don't get impatient. Don't get impatient. In your time of learning, and I alluded to this already, but learn to be pure in living. And to do that, young people, I believe that we need to understand the carnal nature within us, within all of us, and the grip that it has on your life. And Romans 7:18 says this so well, For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. And many times that's where we are in our fallen nature, that the thing that we know is right, we find hard to do. I want to encourage you, be alert for the small sins of your life. I think you understand what I mean by that. It's the little habits that eventually control our life. They eventually become big. And every sin that we commit lessens the fear and the remorse of sin. It hardens our hearts, blunts the edge of our conscience, increases our evil inclination. Be aware of the small sins. Again, the world is full of wickedness, and they expect to draw away the young people into the pleasures and the sins and the immorality of life. Determine to avoid the sin around you. Draw close to God. Learn to be pure in living. God hears and answers the prayer of the righteous, the prayer of the holy, when they seek him and his will. In your learning, discover your gifts. Discover your gifts. It's a time of life when they'll be more profoundly developed. The time when you are asked to do things that are outside your comfort zone. You'll have those times. You'll have those times when you're called to do something that doesn't feel comfortable. It's outside your comfort zone, outside your box. I want to encourage you to be available, to put yourself into it anyway. Whether it's a devotional, young man, lead singing, teach a Sunday school class, whatever it is. Develop your gifts. Discover your gifts. Find things that are challenging. Find things that are hard to do. Find out what you enjoy, what you don't enjoy. It will be a valuable guidance for later in life when opportunities do present themselves to you. Learn. I encourage you to learn. Secondly, serve. As you seek purpose in life, to find purpose in life, I encourage you to serve. Philippians 2 and verses 5 to 7, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Service takes humility. And that could have been one of the things that we listed with one of the things to learn humility. There are two things that are said to be very rare in the eyes of the world. The one is a humble young man, and the second is a content old man. How true that is, too. We all struggle with putting humility into practice in our life. But as we heard here in Philippians, if Jesus was humbled himself and served, how important, how much more important it must be for us to humble ourselves and be obedient. You know, young people, if God continues to direct your life, someday it is likely that you will fill some sort or some kind of leadership position in life. Learn humility now as a young person. Serve. Learn to serve now. You know, young man, it may be that God calls you to be the leader of your home. Learn to serve now so You can serve your family, your spouse in humility. Young ladies, you're preparing now. Prepare now to serve your family as a wife and mother. Perhaps like Jesus, in those years, those quiet years of his life, we could say, the unremarkable years of his life when we hardly heard anything about it. Perhaps the years of our youth are unremarkable as well. But it's a time of serving that will shape us and form us into the next phase of our life, wherever that takes us. It's a time to build character. We'll talk about that one more in just a bit also. But it's a time that you will learn patience and submission as you serve, as you serve. Service aids in learning new skills and other people's ways of doing things. You know, we find that out as we are employers. You know, we do things the way they want us to do and the way they require us to do. Learn to serve. Picture it as a way of service to your employer, to do the things that to do things the way other people want them done. And in your time of service, one last thing on this point, in your time of service, be alert for the undercover motives. Be careful to seek God's glory and not your own. Because that is a temptation. You know, when we accomplish something great, something wonderful, it's easy to take the credit to ourselves. And I'm sure it's no different for young people, or any of us for that matter. But be careful to seek God's glory and to give God the glory and not your own. And thirdly, build. To find purpose in life, I encourage you to build. Jude 1 and verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. It's quite likely that all of you young people here have had the opportunity to grow up in a Christian home, to blessed with a godly heritage. You have a base. You have a foundation already established. Build on that. Build on that. It's your opportunity to shape your future. The foundation you're forming now determines how solid your life will be in your 30s, 40s, your 60s, your 80s, if the Lord tarries that long and gives you life. Build on the faith that has already been given to you. To build that faith, we need to build spiritual discipline. I'm not going to tell you anything new in this point, but I do want to say that every day, in your spiritual walk, you're either getting nearer to God or farther from God. But to understand God's will and to find your purpose in life, the more you need to understand his words to you. So read the scripture. Read the scripture. Set aside a special time for it. Develop a love for it. Scripture should be your first love, not your last resort. You know, often in a tragedy, a time of loss or whatever, a downtime of life, people turn to God and to find words in scripture that will bring them comfort and hope. Don't wait till that time. It should be your first love, not your last resort. In building spiritual discipline, also memorize. Memorize. Take it in. Learn while it's still easy. It's amazing how much effort it takes when you get older to memorize. It's part of life as you get older. But memorize. Build spiritual discipline and memorization. Pray. Pray. I said already about talking out loud to God. Tell him your feelings. There's a lot of books out there, and I have one on my shelf right now that was given to me, and I haven't read it yet. I forget the exact title of it, but it's about something about how to pray, learning how to pray. And I thought about that title, and when I see that book, I think, well, I could read that book through and still not know how to pray. Because prayer is a personal thing between you and God. It's our communication with God. It's that connection with God that we have with no one else. It really is. And no matter what the books say about learning to pray, learn your own way to pray that you connect with God. He wants to hear everything. In building spiritual discipline, evangelize. It might look intimidating as a young person. I have to admit, sometimes it looks intimidating to me as well as we reach out to others and share what God has done for us. But evangelize, practice it, start now. Start building as a young person to reach out, to explain to another person the plan of salvation, what God is doing in your life. If it looks intimidating, reach out to someone you already know that is doing it well, that has a method. Talk with them. Ask them how they do it. How do you get your confidence? How do you start a conversation? I encourage you to evangelize. Be intentional about it. Allow God to work in your life in this way. It will broaden your horizons. It will take you out of your comfort zone. But evangelize. In building spiritual discipline, build the church. Young people, I want to tell you tonight that you're a very important part of your church here at Leola. Very important part. The young man that I spoke about earlier, I haven't talked with him for a while. I'm not sure where he is. But he lost interest in the church. And that's the way it is with so many young people today. It wasn't too long ago I heard again of a church that is almost no one left in it, just the old people. The young people the families have no interest in going to church. It's easy for young people to see everything that's wrong with the church. To see what's wrong, to criticize. They see the hypocrisy. Young people see. They see those things. The sin that's there, the non-commitment that's in a church. Everything they see everything that they wish would change. Young people, I want to encourage you tonight to, rather than those things being your focus, of everything that's wrong with your church, try to understand. Try to put yourself in their shoes. Perhaps even be an encouragement to that person. And rather than pointing fingers or talking about them, put yourself into the church. Put yourself into it. Continue daily in the church. I don't know what it's like for your services, maybe. How many young people, how many of you come to prayer meeting, how much interest you have in being at church when the doors are open, when there's a service held. But I encourage you, when there's a service, be there. Be there. Throw yourself into it. Love the church. Serve the church. You have a vital part to play. And as you serve the church, be accountable. Be accountable to the church as well. Be open to the input that they have in your life. In building, I believe, young people, it's a time that you can build discernment and wisdom, and that comes with life. The experiences of life, the circumstances that come our way, you know, that a lot of that comes automatically, the experience. But as you think about discernment and wisdom as a young person, we go back to the learning point. But ask God for it. Ask God for discernment and wisdom. He will give it to you. He will give it to all of those who ask of him. Scripture tells us he will give it liberally. He will give it liberally. He has an interest in your life, and when you ask, he will fill you with discernment and wisdom. And again, I have a few points here. Places of to use discernment and wisdom. Use it in what you are reading. I don't know how much interest you have in reading as a young person, or how much time you have as a young person to read. But 1 Timothy 4:13 says this, "Till I come, give attendance to reading." Read. Not only, of course, the scriptures. We already touched on that. Most important thing to read. But read good books. Read wholesome books. We are blessed today with all sorts of books that will build us up. And reading the experiences, the lessons of other godly people to encourage us and to help us on with life. Learning the lessons that they learned to help us learn the lessons that we don't need to go through the same thing that they experienced. Use discernment and wisdom in the use of your time. I've got a few questions for you in this point. What do you do for a thrill? What do you do for excitement? What do you do in your leisure time, your hobbies? What is it that you go to and when you have nothing else to do? Use discernment and wisdom. How much time do you spend on the screen, your cell phone? What do you do with social media? Do your friends know, how sincere you are in serving God by the activities that you're involved in? Do they know? Can they tell? Do your activities honor God? Do they honor God? Or do they demand something that's more and more exciting? You got to do the next thing. Young man that I spoke about again, one of his struggles was spending a lot of time with internet activity, and he wasn't attending church much at that point. And I asked him why. He said, because the church service is too dry. Young people, I want to challenge you. What is it that is in your life that would cause you to come to a service on a Sunday morning, Sunday evening, to be able to sit there and let your mind wander, think about other things that are more exciting? I challenge you, put yourself into a church service, to be interested in attending church. Use wisdom and discernment in your time. Again, very closely related to discernment and wisdom in the use of your time. Use discernment in your relationships. And I mentioned your friends, and it should be that the friends that you associate with make it hard for you to sin. They encourage you in the right path, to do the right thing, not make it hard to go against the flow, to stand out and be the only one. Your friends should be people who encourage you in victorious Christian living. Someone who gives you accountability. Friends you choose should give you accountability. One more thing, young people. Right now, your life might look hard, might look open-ended, maybe even a bit fearful. I'm going to let you with this verse, 2 Timothy 1:7. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's where we can find ourselves tonight as young people. Instead of fearing life and what the difficult search it is to find God's will and find purpose in life, God gives us power. God gives us love. God gives us a sound mind. Another quote, we need not fear what our obedience will cause to happen in our life. We should only fear what our disobedience will cause us to miss. I let that with you young people tonight. We don't need to fear what our obedience will cause to happen. We only need to fear what our disobedience to God will cause us to miss. I let that with you. And I have just a few thoughts yet for the rest of us here tonight. Parents, grandparents. The privilege to those of us who have the privilege of having young people in our homes and in our churches. I encourage you to share life with them. Share life with them. Young people thrive in an environment where they're allowed to discover and learn life, about life, about themselves, about the world. Young people will do that. If we don't give them the direction, they will find someone who will give them direction. It may not be the direction that we want them to go. But remember, young people will make mistakes. They will make mistakes. They are human. And when the time comes, if they fall, when they need direction, when they ask, when they seek, they need a good listener. They need a good listener. Someone who is supportive. Someone who loves them. They know loves them, cares about them. Someone to encourage them, who cares about their dreams. Young people have dreams for their future. They need someone to encourage them in their dreams. And I said they make mistakes, but young people do not want to fail. But they do want to know that God's will, the support of the home, the support of the church, that is what will ultimately keep them safe. They want to know that. And so may we tonight take that as a challenge. We might be past that stage, but I think it wouldn't take much for us to go back to those years of our life when we were there and when we were searching and seeking, and God help us to fill our place in that way. So God bless you tonight, and may we strive to fill and find his place for us. Let's kneel for prayer.